Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Day 4 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2012. Now, there are many lessons we can learn during the Feast of Tabernacles, and there are a lot of lessons we can learn from the Bible. And, of course, as we're going to see, our whole goal is to attain to the kingdom of God, to become priests and kings and leaders and teachers, to bring peace to the world, to bring to the world the restitution of all things under Jesus Christ. Now, there have been very few times of peace in this world. And, of course, remember that God's calling for the children of Israel was that they would be a kingdom of priests to take God's word to the whole world. Now, there was only one time in the entire history of Israel that they did that. And yet, it didn't last very long. So, we're going to see what is it going to be like to have every physical thing that you need. And what does it bring unless you have the Spirit of God? And can you succeed in this life but not attain to the kingdom of God in the first resurrection? Yes, you can. But what is success in this life? What does it lead to when you have everything that your heart could desire? Well, we have an example of that in the Bible. And that one is King Solomon, the son of David. And if anyone could have started out with a better start than he had, no place is there a parallel in all the history of mankind. God blessed King David. He gathered gold, he gathered silver, he gathered iron, he gathered brass. He gathered a tremendous amount of money. God personally gave to King David the plans for the first temple. And he drew them out. He gave them to his son Solomon, who was very young at the time that he became king. And so, if you want a title for this sermon, let's entitle it, "It's Not How You Start, It's How You Finish." And we're going to see that there are a lot of spiritual parallels that follow right along with what happened here with Solomon. Now, Solomon had everything given to him. And when he started out, he was very humble. So let's see the story and the saga of Solomon. And let's apply it in several ways. Number one, we'll look at his life and see what it was that brought him down, what it was that made him successful. Then we can draw parallels with our lives and see and compare what these things are as they apply to us. And then we can apply them in the third way to the kingdom of God when we are going to be teaching and judging and ruling over the people. And what we find that happened to Solomon could very well be the same thing that could happen to people who come into the millennium. Now remember this, we will enter the kingdom of God at the resurrection because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the human beings that survive over into the millennium and start out the civilization of man again under Christ and under the saints, they are going to be under the kingdom of God. They will not be in the kingdom of God. It will be that the kingdom of God will be ruling on the earth. So let's come here to see what Solomon did. And when he started out, God loved him. He pleased God. He did the things that were right. So let's begin in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the third chapter. Let's begin here in verse 3. 1 Kings 3 and verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. So he started out right. He started out good. Walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Now there was one high place that was the place to go to offer sacrifices to God. So there he had this fault to begin with. Verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon the altar. Now you see, after the Ark of the Covenant was separated from the tabernacle because of the lost battle of the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and the Philistines captured the ark, and after 7 months of plagues upon them, they sent it back to Israel, and finally, after several places where the ark was, then David brought it to the city of David, and he made a tent for it in his house. So David had a special wing in his house where the Ark of the Covenant was in this tent, and he had the priest and Levites who would do the officiating and everything there. But the sacrifices were given in Gibeon. That's where the tabernacle was. So the altar, the Holy of Holies, and everything was up at Gibeon. Now, after the building of the temple, then it was all brought back together at the temple. So let's read what happened here, because this is quite a thing. And notice this was really wonderful. So let's continue on here in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Boy, that's something, isn't it? What is it that you want? What is your life going to be? And Solomon said, and here he was humble. He knew what he really needed. So he said, you have shown to your servant David, my father, great mercy according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And you have kept this great kindness for him, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. So he's talking about himself here. So here's what he wanted. And remember yesterday, we covered about how we are going to judge people. And so that's one of the function of kings and priests and leaders. They have to judge. So here's what Solomon asked for. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of David, my father, and I'm a little child. Now, we don't know how old he was, maybe 15, 16, whatever. I do not know how to go out or come in, that is, to function as king. Lord, I don't know where to begin. Show me what I need to do. And isn't that the way we need to be? Oh, Lord, show us what to do. Help us, lead us, guide us, grant us your spirit. So Solomon started out really good. Verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a numerous people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Now therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this, your great people? Now that was the perfect request from Solomon. Now had he stayed this way, I wonder how things would have turned out. So likewise with us, how have we started out with God? Did we not start out with something like this, asking God, help me, forgive my sins, watch over me, strengthen me, grant me understanding? Yes, we did. Now think about how many people started out that way but didn't end up that way. Because you see, there's something that happens when you receive everything you need. Now we'll see what that is a little later. But let's continue on and see how God responded to that. Likewise with us. If we maintain the right spiritual relationship with God by loving Him and He loving us and walking in His ways and doing the things that please Him, what is it that God is going to give us spiritually when we enter the kingdom of God? And remember this promise, that God is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. So one of the things we want to accomplish in covering the life of Solomon today is to look at the pitfalls that came along, look at the thought process that developed, which led him away from God, so that won't happen to us. Because as you read about the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, what do you find? Well, you find that the churches have to fight against carnal nature themselves. Right? Yes, indeed. So there's a lot we can learn. And Paul wrote that the things in the Old Testament are types for us so that we can learn not to do the evil things, but also we can learn to do the good things, which were the things that please God. And then carry that on in to our relationship with God the Father in Jesus Christ. So let's continue on here. Let's see what happened. Verse 10. And the word was good in the eyes of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, and have not asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to judge justly. Now that's why yesterday we covered how do we judge? Judge righteous judgment. Behold, I've done according to your word. Lo, I've given you a wise and understanding heart so that there was none like you before you, and after you none shall arise like you. So no one's going to be as Solomon. So we need to learn some lessons here, don't we? Yes. And I also have given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like you in all your days. So what we have here is a covenant between God and Solomon. And in any covenant, there are conditions. Just like when we read about the words of the covenant that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ, look at all of the if statements that are connected with it. Because you see, God is perfect, God is righteous, God is love, God is kind, God is good, God cannot lie. So therefore, His word is true, and it's going to happen. Now, since we're still human beings, and we still have a human nature, and we're still subject to sin and the things that we do that are not right, the conditions always fall upon us. So notice what God said to Solomon. Therefore, that is in the light of what I'm going to do for you, if, there's that little big word again, if you will walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Now let's see something else that is true. What was it that Abraham was commended for after he had died and the promise and covenant was passed on to Isaac? All right, let's come to Genesis 25. Hold your place there in 1 Kings 3, because we'll come back. And Genesis 26, rather. Genesis 26. Notice how God carried on the covenant to Abraham. Notice how similar this is to the covenant that God is making with Solomon. And we are in covenant with God too. And we will see that all covenants of God have these requirements. Now he told him, stay there. Verse 4, Genesis 26. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and will give your seed all these lands. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham. Now you see, the things important to understand is this. We receive the things that we do because of Abraham and because of Christ. Now notice, Abraham obeyed my voice. And those are the three words that we need to have ingrained in our hearts and in our minds. Because this will always bring us back from sin. Obey my voice. And what did Jesus say when he was tempted of the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And those are the same ones that he gave to Israel. Now, notice how similar that is to the covenant that God made here with Solomon. If you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my covenants as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant. So he went up there and offered burnt offerings at Gibeon. Then he came back and he offered burnt offerings where the Ark of the Covenant was, that was in the house of David, in which he was now living. And stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Okay? That sealed the covenant. Now then, this is quite a thing. Come over here to chapter 4. All right, chapter 4. God gave him all the territory that he promised, you see. And this is a lesson for all people in the world today. If you don't want war, if you want peace, you better turn to God. There better be fear of God in your life, in your institutions, in your governments, in your education, and in your finance. And in the letter of the law, God will bless you. However, we need to understand that we're not going to just reign over the kingdom of Israel. We are going to inherit the world. And we are going to rule the world under Christ. So then it talks about everything that Solomon did. And let's pick it up here and see how this compares in parallel to what the kingdom of God will be like that we are going to administer upon the world. Verse 24, 1 Kings 4. Just the next page over, 1 Kings 4, verse 24. For he had to rule over all this side of the river, from Tifsa even to Gaza, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. You have peace from your enemies when you have peace with God. When you do not have peace with God, you do not have peace with your enemies. And Judah and Israel, notice two separate designations, lived safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba all the days of Solomon. Now, didn't we read about that in Isaiah the second chapter, that every man's going to live under his own fig tree and under his own vine? Yes, indeed. Now then, God fulfilled his promise. And let's pick it up here in verse 29. Notice what God gave him, see. So it's, let's also understand this in living. Here's a lesson. It's not the wisdom we can get from an education in this world Now, that is only worthwhile as we get our education from God's Word, which then is the same as God giving us wisdom because He gave it here so we can read it and study it and know it and learn it and apply it. All right? Let's pick it up, verse 29, 1 Kings 4. And God gave Solomon exceeding great wisdom and understanding and largeness of heart, even as the sand is on the seashore. What a fantastic blessing of all of that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, what are we going to administer in the kingdom of God to this world? The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth, as the seas cover the earth. Now, we can expand upon that a little bit later. But you see, the parallels here. I want us to get the parallels so we can learn the lessons so that, number one, we can grow in grace and knowledge and love God, grow in wisdom and understanding, and then we can also learn to avoid the mistakes of Solomon, because it's not how you start, it is how you finish. Now let's continue on here. And Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the sons of the East, all of the Orient, and all the wisdom of Egypt. Think of that. And today, there are secrets of wisdom from the Egyptians that we do not even understand. So God really gave it to him. So then it lists all the wise men of his day, that he was wiser than them. Now notice what Solomon did. Verse 32. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now we have the book of Proverbs, and I don't think we have all 3,000 there, but we have a good number of them. And his songs were 1,005. What were those songs? We don't know. We're not told. But notice of the wisdom that God gave him, how he understood certain things. Verse 33, and he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree in Lebanon even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of creeping things and of fish. So he knew great things about all of these, the intricate things of the creation of God. Now, as we go along, think how we're going to teach the world about that. And think about how wonderful it is going to be that children are going to play with the animals that used to be carnivorous, beast and human devouring things. And children are going to lead them, play with them. Think how excited children are going to be when they can have their own lion. Get rid of all plastic toys. All television games. Gonna have the real thing. So he was so intelligent, so wise, had so much understanding. Now notice verse 34. And there came from all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Yes, they had boat travel around the world, and they came from everywhere. And this was the only time when the children of Israel, through the kingdom of Solomon, that they partially fulfilled the commission given to them by God when he gave them the Ten Commandments when they were at Mount Sinai. So let's see what happened here. All right? Let's come over here. Now, chapter 5, he made a league with Hiram, king of Tyre, to bring cedar trees and fir trees and everything that they made to build the house of Solomon, to build the house of God. Now, let's come over here to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Solomon's house is finished. The temple is finished. Everything is done. All the priests are ready to go. All the soldiers and captains and so forth, and the princes, they were all together there. And here we're going to see that this comes as the dedication of the temple. Now, they started out because it says, go over here to chapter 8 and verse 65. So we get the time setting when this took place. And at that time, Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath to the river of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. So how did this happen? If we look at the calendar, we can understand. See, this is why understanding the calculated Hebrew calendar is important. In the first day of the seventh month, the dedication of the temple started and lasted for 7 days. Then there was a break because there was the feast of what? The Day of Atonement. Now, what are they to do on the Day of Atonement? They're to not do any work. They are not to have any eating, no drinking. They are to be fasting. So from the eighth day through to the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th day, which is a week, they did not have a continuation of the dedication of the temple. But after the Day of Atonement, they made preparations for the greatest feast that was ever held by the children of Israel, the Feast of Tabernacles, to celebrate the functioning of the temple, the completion of it. So here's what happened. Everything's set on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, you can follow the parallel with this in 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. But let's begin. 1 Kings 8, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, so that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel were gathered to King Solomon at the feast in Ethanim, which is the seventh month. That's the beginning of the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came in, and the priests took up the ark. They brought the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation. So they took all these things from Gibeon, and they brought them all down to the temple. And what they did with the tabernacle, they stored that in the subterranean archives of the temple. And all the holy vessels which were in the temple, even those the priests and the Levites brought up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled to him were before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen, which could not be counted for multitude. And what they did, they put extra burnt offering altars all around the temple area, so that there could be, because this was the greatest celebration that there ever was concerning dedicating the temple. What a fantastic time this was. Now, I want you to think about how great it's going to be when we are there at the dedication of the tabernacle of God, where he has the tabernacle right over Jerusalem. Now, remember, Jerusalem with the earthquake that's going to take place when Christ and the saints return is going to lift up Jerusalem even higher than it is. And then Christ is going to have that tabernacle, which is a pillar of clouds, and clouds by day and fire by night. So think about what it's going to be with us rejoicing that now God is bringing that, Christ is setting up his temple on earth. So that's going to be quite a thing. Think of it very similar to this. So it describes all of it. Okay? So afterwards, they put that in the Holy of Holies. God put his presence there. Verse 10, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the Holy of Holies, the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Now, remember, that's exactly what happened when the tabernacle was raised up on the first day of the second month and dedicated before the Passover in the book of Exodus. The cloud of God filled the tabernacle. Here, it filled the temple. And to show and to prove to Solomon, the priest, all the leaders of Israel, all the people of Israel there, that God truly had put his presence in the temple just as he had promised David and Solomon. Okay. Now then, Solomon brings his prayer. Let's come here to chapter 10. All right. No, chapter 9. Beg your pardon. Read the whole prayer that Solomon gave. And when you read it through, and read the account also in 2 Chronicles, the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter as well. And look at all of the ifs. If your people. And so these things had taken place. So let's see how Solomon finished this prayer. Verse 54, 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Verse 54. Now it came to pass, as Solomon finished praying all his prayer and petition to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people, according to all that he had promised. There has not one word of all his good promises which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant, not one word has failed." Now think about that. Draw the parallel. Here are our lives. We're struggling, we're overcoming, we're growing in grace and knowledge, we're loving God, we're keeping the kingdom of God first in our minds, and where we're going, what we're doing. And remember, read and study all the promises of Christ, because not one promise will fail. Just like here. And think what it's going to be like. There is going to be a great celebration by all the sons of God at the dedication of the tabernacle when the millennium starts and Christ sets up the tabernacle there in Jerusalem. It's going to be awesome. So there will be a prayer similar to this. Verse 57, "May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us." Now remember, when everything goes well, God says there in Deuteronomy the 8th chapter, "And when you have been filled to the full, beware, lest your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who's given you all these things. And you say, by my hand and my might, I have done these things," when that is not true. Nothing happens without God making it occur. Now remember that spiritually. So he says, verse 58, "To incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he has commanded our fathers. And let these my words, which I have made supplications before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, so that he may maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times as the manner requires." Now we need to understand that in relationship to the modern tribes of Israel today. If they would turn to God, and they can do it, if they would turn to the word of God and love God, begin keeping his commandments, begin teaching the people to keep the laws of God so we don't have sin running like a tsunami through our land, where then God has to judge us with drought, judge us with floods, judge us with the whirlwind, judge us with sickness, and judge us with disease, and judge us with financial calamity. If the nations would do that, God would hold back his hand of judgment. But we need to remember there's always a time that it becomes too late to turn back. It's not too late now. It could still happen. But notice how this fulfills very carefully what God told the children of Israel in Exodus 19. That all the people of the earth may know. See, God decided he's going to go through one man and his offspring. Then that came down to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he was going to go through one man, David. And that came down to his son, Solomon. But the mission was to go to the world. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus told the apostles. He said, go into all the world and teach all nations. Notice how somber this is. That all the people of the world may know that the Lord is God and there is none other. And let your heart, that is each one of you individually out there, hearing this prayer. And let your heart be perfect with the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments as it is this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. So that was really something. An amazing thing that took place. So here's the dedication of the temple. And he gave all of these offerings. Now, let's read them here. Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered to the Lord. 22,000 oxen. Now, 22 is the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 1,000 oxen for every letter of the alphabet. And 120,000 sheep. There were 12 tribes of the children of Israel, correct? Yes. So there were 12,000 sheep for every tribe. Now you see how God deals in numbers. So the king and all Israel, all the children of Israel, dedicated the house of the Lord. Now notice what he did on the eighth day of the feast. So it went Feast of Trumpets for a week. Then Feast of Tabernacles for a week plus one day. This is why we get 7 days and 7 days, which is 14. Then verse 66 mentions the eighth day. Now notice what Solomon did. And on the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done for David, his servant, and for Israel, his people. An amazing thing. So, brethren, we're going to see such a dedication when the kingdom of God is set up on the earth. And then there will be a dedication for God bringing all the children of Israel back out of captivity, because they're going to be spread out in captivity because of their sins. And so we can see some parallels here. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back and pick up the rest of the story.